This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by John Kuhn. He is the author of the sci-fi series Alien People Chronicles.
How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Awesome. Yeah, it's fine. It's Monday, other than Monday, and my roommate's obsession with putting all our lights onto smart lights so he can be lazy and control them from his phone or something.
So turning on and off a light switch is kind of lost on him at this point.
He was like, I want to watch a movie in the living room, and it takes like 30 seconds to go around like sort of the living dining room kitchen area to turn off three switches. So now the lights are on, like now there's a motion sensor.
Oh, high tech.
Yeah, and Alexa's involved. It's so dumb.
Well, Alexa controls the lights now.
Yes. Not by my choice. He just did this, and then I had to. Anyways, we're going to talk about your books. So I like to start these interviews out with some a fun question or two. So, John, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Not on my pizza.
All right. Interview continues. You made the correct, choice there.
I like pineapple, but in a lot of things, but not pizza. That it just doesn't mix.
Right. The question wasn't do you hate pineapple? The question was, does it go on a pizza? And the answer is no. So, how long have you wanted to be an author, John?
Oh, this is a dream that I've had since I was in middle school.
Okay.
I took my first serious stab at writing stories when I was 12 years old. My oldest, or the youngest of my three older sisters, had written some short stories. And I saw her do it, and I thought, well, I can write short stories too. And so I went to got out an old manual typewriter that my parents had stored on a table at the back of the kitchen, put in some orange typing paper, and I started typing out stories. Awesome. And I wrote a bunch of little adventure stories centered around a litter of mischievous kittens. They were based on family pets we had at the time.
Okay.
And the rest, as they say, is history. I polished those stories up a little bit later, finished them all. Hopefully I'll be able to publish them one day when I find the right illustrator. And awesome. I just kept working at it and refining my craft over the years.
And that brings us to today, where you have your Alien People Chronicles series, yes?
Yes.
All right. So why don't you tell us what it's about, who the characters are, what makes it interesting to read?
So the Alien People Chronicles are basically the story of Kalandra Menankar and Xdrugan, who are residents of the planet Lathos, which it's not explicitly stated in the story, but it's approximately 11 to 12 light years from Earth.
Okay.
And the Chronicles just kind of follow their hero's journey. So in the first book in the series, Alien People, we were introduced to them when Kalandra, who works as an astronomer in her home nation, on her home planet, discovers a probe sent from Earth. And when they figure out that it's from Earth, that, they didn't even know Earth existed, and they decide to go make first contact with the race of people they call the Earthians. Sure. And they come out to Earth and and it's kind of a worst case scenario for them in terms of first contact. They find out that the Earthians aren't as peaceful as they assumed them to be. And then Dark Metamorphosis, the second book, picks up the story about a year after their return from Earth, and it details a dark conspiracy that's formed that threatens their lives, and they become aware of it when Extra is abducted while on a space piloting mission agents of an enemy nation. And so Extra spends the novel trying to get home, and Calandra's trying to find him. And as they go about trying to meet these goals, they unravel this conspiracy and find out why their lives are being threatened.
Okay. So where did the idea come from to sort of do, you know, aliens, humans as the aliens and aliens as like the humans kind of come from?
So, you know, I've always, we've all seen them. There's lots of sci-fi stories, first contact stories, where you have the mysterious, dangerous, violent aliens.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Farscape episode in season one, I believe, had that concept.
Yeah.
It was really, because, you know, there's actual some, there's like, you have our human character, but he's actually with some aliens. And yeah, it's an interesting one. And like, they're like, wow, aliens are real, and they're all like confused by it. It's a great episode.
Well, and I thought it would always be, when I saw those, you know, the stereotypical first contact story, I always thought, wouldn't it be fun to explore a first contact scenario from the point of view of the aliens? How do they react to people on Earth? What are their impressions? What, you know, if we set a bunch of peaceful aliens down on planet Earth, what's going to happen to them? You know, how do they perceive the Earthlings, Earthians, you know, whoever they run into? And that was kind of the genesis behind Alien People. It's just that initial idea of taking the first contact story and twisting the point of view around, so it's from the opposite side.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting idea. How did you go about sort of plotting out? Are you like a pantser, or are you a plotter?
So in the beginning, when I wrote the original rough draft for Alien People, total pantser. I mean, I just, true story, I actually wrote the original draft at 18 years old, so I mean, 2 decades ago. And I wrote it over the course of 3 months. It was a 400-page rough draft. And I just, it was like total stream of consciousness. I just sit down, write a few pages or a few chapters each day, depending on how much time I had. And I was pretty proud of myself when I got done with it. But the problem is it read like a bad direct-to-video sci-fi movie. The characters were all cardboardy. Action scenes happened for the sake of having action scenes. There was really no plot or character development within it. And so when I went back and refined the story and tried to develop it, I took on more of a plotter approach to it, where I build out the world, I build out the characters, and kind of figured out their personalities and interests and life histories, figured out like the historical background of the planet, biology, geography, culture, just anything I could think of. And when I went back in and did subsequent drafts of Alien People, it actually fundamentally changed the story. I mean, the basic concept remained the same, but the way I executed it was 180-degree difference.
So you had to, like, go in and just sort of, I mean, like, gut the book. You did massive reconstruction surgery on it. Yeah. Is any of the original even still kind of there, besides sort of the plot idea? But, like, were there any, like, passages you saved, or is it a complete, like, rewrite?
There are a handful of passages. They're somewhat intact from the original. I mean, the characters, the main characters are all the same. Extra and Calandra were always there from the beginning. But for the most part, I changed the Earth setting. I excised complete scenes, and in some cases, complete chapters, and put in new ones in their place. I dropped some characters, added different ones. And it showed me kind of what the difference is between a pantser and a plotter, you know. I used to love doing the pantser approach, and I still kind of combine it with the plotting to a certain extent. But the problem I always ran into when I took the pantser approach is I'd start writing a story, and then if I hit writer's block, that'd be the end of the story. And so I have like just all these half-finished drafts lying around from my pantser days.
Mine were from my ADD days when I would just start a story, then get a new idea and abandon that story to start my new story and then abandon that one. So I have like 100 stories that get like 2 or 3 chapters and then that's it. I just went on to something else back in my teens and early 20s.
Well, and it's fun to kind of go look back at some of those early stories when that happens. And sometimes you're like, man, what was I thinking? There's not really anything here.
I look back at it, and I realized that there was a time when I did the double space after a period. And when I started writing again in my like early 30s, after kind of not really doing much for my 20s, I had forgotten all about that. And I was like, because I know like that's sort of like proper formatting, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the
for, like reports and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but then I started writing, and so then I'm reading through it, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm double spacing my periods. Oh wow, I completely forgot that.
Well, and I used to do the 12-point double space, you know.
I still do that for my writing. It just makes editing it easier when it's like when it's double spaced.
Well, when I get to the final draft, though, I realize, oh wow, if I have this like in a print version, it's gonna like double my print costs.
Right, right. And so obviously
for the print, I'll drop it to like 11 point, and then I'll drop the spacing to like proportional.
On the final book of my epic fantasy series, it was so long that Amazon couldn't print it at the same font size I did the other 4 books at. I had to drop it a font size so it would be, because otherwise it was too many pages. Like I think there's like 865 pages or something like that they can print.
Oh wow,
that's like the limit for their system. And so I was like over that. So I had to like, yeah, I had to shrink the font just a little bit. Like it's hardly noticeable, but to make it, and then that made it fit. I made it about as long as book 4, even though it's usually quite a bit of a longer book. But yeah, these are the things that writers have to consider, their font size. On print books.
Oh yeah.
So let's see. So this is a story you wrote when you were like 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so you kind of went back to it. So I mean, it's been what, a decade, 2 decades since you wrote those? Did you go back to this story?
Well, Alien People has always been like the linchpin of the sci-fi universe I wanted to create. Like all my stories and the short stories, novels, and everything I have planned is connected within that universe in one form or another. And so it was kind of like, you know, my baby, my labor of love, so to speak, that these were the characters I cared the most about. And so I wanted to publish this book. I wanted to see it through eventually. And the thing that is really gratifying about that is, you know, when I got it out there in the world, it's been pretty well received so far. Like I've had a few readers that have told me, who've read all my books, they've told me that Alien People's their favorite one. That's the best story out of all the stories. And I love that, because it's something that I just put so much time and energy and so much of my heart and soul into creating it. And just creating that universe.
Right, right. Yeah, I get that. As for me, I barely even remember any of those stories I started back in my teens and 20s, because they were all terrible. And again, I got nowhere with any of them. So I had no like connection. Actually, I had no investment in them, because I would just abandon them at the drop of a hat for something else. because I was pretty ADD. That was actually one of my worries when I wanted to be an author, was that I had this fear that I could never actually finish anything. So it was really great when I actually finished something.
Well, one of the things that I had concerns about, and probably one of the reasons why I adapted away from the pure pantser approach and more to a hybrid of pantser and plotter, is, I've worked as a sports journalist since 2004, and that keeps me so busy that I thought, well, if I don't plan some of this stuff out, I will never ever finish a story. I'll never make it through far enough to actually publish anything, because the pressures and duties of my day job will get in the way and I'll just drop everything by the wayside. And so that actually kind of forced me to take more of a plotter approach versus a pantser approach, and just sketch out characters and, do outlines of major plot beats and character beats that I wanted to hit within a story, so that I at least had a framework in place before I wrote the rough draft.
Yeah, I get that. I'm in the middle of a 12 book series, and I'm going to finally write a scene here in book 8 that's been like in the back of my mind since before I started writing the series, and I just how to get the characters to this point. So I'm kind of finally I should get to it this month. So that's exciting.
Well, the fun thing is even when you do all that framework and sketching everything out, you still end up going in unexpected directions when you're writing the stories.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that happens to me. I used to be much more of a pantser, but then I wrote an epic fantasy series that had multiple storylines that intersected with each other, and it turns out I couldn't pants that.
No, that's really hard when you're trying to weave in subplots and multiple points of view. It's like you gotta sketch it out a little bit.
Yeah, because I had characters like traveling, so they were going from like there was like I would say there was like two major storylines in the book, and characters would go between them as different things happen. Like they would jump from one storyline to the other one. And so there was some trading back and forth. And so it's kind of like I needed to know. Yeah. So I had to have concrete, what they were doing. So like, when they were leaving and why and how that synced up with the other timeline. So I had to have, not only did I have to have an app, so that I have to plot it, I had to plot it on a timeline and know like how many days were passing on each storyline. So their timelines synced up. And so yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly the same, but I mean, kind of similar in how I executed Dark Metamorphosis, my book that came out in July. I had extra basically on one plot line and Calandra on a separate plot line, and I'm following these parallel plot lines through the book and I have to figure out how to link them up at the end. And if you try and do that just by winging it, not really planning anything out, it's hard to do it effectively.
Yeah. So what do you have working, and then what do you have in the works next, John? Like, what are you working on now that's upcoming?
I will have book number 3 in the Alien People Chronicles coming out next summer, probably late summer release.
Okay.
And so I'll have a complete trilogy there. And then beyond that, I just recently launched a newsletter called Strange New Worlds on Substack.com, where I have a mix of articles, writing tips, publishing marketing advice for indie authors, and original short fiction. And it's free for anybody to sign up that wants to get the articles emailed to them. Although I will have a disclaimer that the stories, for the most part, will be for paid subscribers, and the subscriptions are $7 a month.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of Substack for like independent news. A lot of independent journalists use Substack, but I hadn't thought about it for like just general fiction.
Yeah, it's actually expanding out to include a lot of different things, because I knew about it because of my connection to journalism, but I thought, hey, this would be a fun way to reach people who are into writing and, you know, want to find some good stories. And it seems like a kind of a fun vehicle for that.
Well, awesome. It was really great talking with you. If you want to tell our listeners where else they can find you on the internet besides Substack.
Yeah.
So they can connect with you.
Definitely. They can go to my official author website, johncoon.net, and I have a tab listing all my books that are out, where they can buy the books, and they can also read sample chapters out of each one. So that's fun. And I also have a blog on that site where I have regular like articles and updates. And then I also am on Facebook. I have an official Facebook author page. I'm on Twitter. My handle's John Coon Sports on Twitter. And my Twitter account is a mix of fiction stuff and my sports reporting. I'm on Instagram. My handle's jcoon312. And then I also have author pages on Amazon, BookBub, and Goodreads. So there's lots of ways to connect with me, and I'm active on all those mediums. So I welcome anyone that wants to ask questions or talk to me about my books or whatever.
Okay, cool. Well, it was really great talking with you, John.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you have yourself a great day.
You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.